Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Ridley, the running back, takes the handoff through a hole on the 30-yard line at the 25, inside the 25, 20, 15 to the 10, to the 5, and he's in! Touchdown, rookie Stephen Ridley!
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Yeah, sure. Oh, hi, everybody. How are you today? It is a Thursday. You know what that means? He is back. He is back. It is the Football Fantasy Hour here with Brian. Football Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
I don't know about that. But he is back after 1 week hiatus. Welcome back, Bri.
How you doing? Now, that 1 week hiatus meant that I lost the opportunity to discuss with you.
Yes.
What we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Which
do you remember?
You're going to say Chad Ochocinco.
Chad Ochocinco's two touchdowns in Buffalo.
It was so close.
Chad Ochocinco's two
touchdowns
in
Buffalo. End zone. As he dropped it in the end, I said, Brian's watching. I said, if I had your number, I would have texted you and said, forget it. All bets are off.
Well, but, we'll have to exchange those numbers so we can have a conversation. But listen.
It was so close.
It was so close. He should have had that one. Which would have given you, at least the one touchdown good yardage. But, that's the way it goes. And, Ochocinco's still working his way through.
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of, I love it when I can, this part of the week when you're on, because we can kind of parallel, like real football with fantasy football.
Sure.
Obviously, we're doing fantasy football, but I got to tell you this. Two games to me that have to be this year, a fantasy football offensive, you know what, dreams. And first off is Philadelphia and Buffalo, and then Green Bay and Atlanta. Oh. Those points are going to be going crazy.
I wouldn't rule out New Orleans, Carolina.
I agree.
And
I circled that one as well. But I wanted to talk about those two games first.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are just... The Buffalo Philly game in Buffalo is going to be crazy, and so is the one on Sunday night.
Right. Well, the Buffalo Philly, you can draw some parallels to Buffalo New England, mm-hmm. where going into that game, you figure, hey, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers in that game, maybe except for Ochocinco, but the wide the QBs, the wide receivers, and certainly the running backs, those are all, all sure starts, must starts, makes that game interesting. And then, seeing what Aaron Rodgers is capable of is just. He's having just one of those off the charts years, like Brady a couple mm-hmm. years ago, and really, there's definitely some question marks as far as the Green Bay running backs. But other than that, I mean, you talk about the top tight end really in the NFL, JerMichael Finley, in that game. Atlanta's offense has been, it hasn't been a smooth operation, but against Green Bay, I think they're going to be able to do pretty well. Green Bay at home, against Green Bay at home.
It's in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Yeah. So for Atlanta at home, I think they're going to have some quality fantasy performances. No question about it. Some great games this weekend.
Well, an email already. We got, who do I start, Hernandez or Greg Olsen this week? I want to start Aaron, but Revis said he may cover him. Jeff working in Raytheon.
Yeah, well, and Hernandez is certainly a topic of conversation
presented
today.
Presented by Raytheon.
because Hernandez did show up at practice today. And,
yes, he did.
We're still waiting probably imminently the injury report. And he was there, at least during stretching. I was out there. He had a brace on his knee. They don't do enough when the media is out there to really know what kind of shape these players are in. I would say that right now, Aaron Hernandez got to say 50-50 at best.
Yeah.
And then even if he does play, what kind of status is going to be at. Unfortunately, in the question between Hernandez and Greg Olsen, Greg Olsen plays at 1, Hernandez plays at 4:15. If it truly does come down to a game-time decision for Hernandez, you can't wait that long if that's your question mark. So right now, you'd have to feel safer with Olsen. And if Hernandez was 100%, you go Hernandez. Right now, you got to go Olsen.
Interesting you bring up the 4:15 because this week it's a little different. Only 3 4:15 games. How does that affect the fantasy football expert like yourself and others out there?
With the bye weeks now, so this week there are 6 teams on a bye week. So that's 6 teams, 3 fewer games. So instead of, 5 or 6 4:15 games, there's only 3. The fewer 4:15 games, the better, because the more teams that are starting at 1, that means at 11:30 the inactives are going to come out, and you have that 11:30 to 1 o'clock mm-hmm. period of time to assess your lineup. It's fewer games that you have to wait until 4:15, fewer teams that have question marks till there, but there are going to be some. And this week it's Tampa, San Francisco, Jets, New England, San Diego, Denver. Yep. Plenty of fantasy ramifications in those. So the fewer the better. The fewer the better. But you know there's going to be a few every week. And that's one of those game-time decisions for 4:15 games can bog down a fantasy team.
Derek says, what's up, guys? I'm 4-0 in my fantasy league and looking to make it 5-0 this week.
I like that.
I'm in a non-PPR league in a standard ESPN scoring. Which player should I start on the list? LeGarrette Blount, Mike Williams, Tampa Bay, Steve Johnson, or Cedric Benson? And I can either start one running back and one wide receiver or two wide receivers. Based on my open slots, what do you think? Thanks, guys. Go Pats.
So it sounds like of these four, he can start two at the most. I think it's got to be Blount and Stevie Johnson. Blount is a must start. I mean, and certainly if it's between Blount and Benson, it looks like the Benson suspension is not, he's not going to be suspended yet.
No.
I think that's still pending.
Weasel his way out.
I remember two weeks ago, I think right around the time we started the show, the news came down, I think, that it looks like he's going to have a suspension. Still hasn't happened. Blount is a must-start. Tampa Bay against San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco has done a pretty decent job against the run this year, but LeGarrette Blount is certainly a must-start. And then I think Stevie Johnson against Philadelphia, you know, a disappointing Philadelphia defense so far. I know they've got some tough cornerbacks, but Mike Williams has just not had the same impact this year as he's had in the past. I like him. I wouldn't give up on him, but I would go Blount and Stevie Johnson there.
Dan has four fantasy questions for you, Brian. Higgins and Hopkinton here with a few questions. Oh, it's Higgins. Dan Higgins. Quarterback, Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton? That's number one. That's interesting.
That is interesting. And Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton, I would probably lean toward. Wow, that is a really good one. I put him, very close there. I'm going to go Fitzpatrick. That's a great question.
It's almost a toss-up.
Almost a toss-up.
You know why the Eagles are such the Eagles are so desperate to win a game.
Yeah.
I mean, Eagles really have to win this game.
That's true.
But that defense, what you saw last week, again, blowing a 3-touchdown lead and doing
I feel like
defenses around the NFL this year.
I feel like both Fitzpatrick and Newton are primed to have big yardage days, probably a few touchdowns, but I see them both having at least two interceptions, too.
Sure, I agree.
And Newton, you know, Newton had that unbelievable first week. Week two was against Green Bay, and he did better than I expected him to, but I expected him to have a few interceptions, maybe three, and he did. I can see this being a similar kind of game against New Orleans.
New Orleans gives up a lot of net yards like the Patriots
do,
Packers do.
I'm having trouble with this one. I'm having a lot of trouble.
It's because of Philadelphia, because the nightmare team that was the dream team. We can't say dream team anymore.
Right.
Philadelphia, it's the nightmare team.
Right, exactly. So but I would go. I'm going to give a slight, extremely slight edge Fitzpatrick. Just maybe a chance that he has fewer mistakes than Newton in this game, but I think that's a really, really close one.
Second question from Higgy. Start three of these four: Vincent Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Roddy White, or AJ Green.
Three
of those four.
Yeah, there's Jackson, who's banged up a little bit, and a little bit of a health question mark on him. He might be questionable going into the game. I think Maclin too. I think all four of them have some sort of an injury concern, so that's something to monitor. And I would probably say, AJ Green is the guy that loses out, and all four of them. I mean, if you've got those four guys, you're in pretty good shape. I'd probably go AJ Green out in this case because, rookie quarterback, they've done well, and they've had some good connections, but I just feel a little more comfortable with Jackson, Maclin, and White in terms of how they've been doing, veteran quarterbacks that they have with them. I'd probably sit Green.
Third Higgy question. Following my trend of not falling in love with any defense and grabbing the best offense on the board each week, which of the following is the best for week 5? Detroit versus Chicago, Bengals versus Jacksonville, Texans versus Oakland, Tampa Bay versus San Fran.
I think there's no doubt it's the Bengals. The Bengals are the absolute number one waiver wire defense this week. in terms of a defense that it's not like they were highly drafted. And if you've got teams on a bye week, or Baltimore is on a bye week, I have Baltimore in one of my leagues, and I picked up Cincinnati, and they're going against Jacksonville. Cincinnati actually has the number one ranked defense in the NFL based on yardage, which is a huge asterisk.
Yeah, but it's big for you guys in fantasy football.
But in fantasy,
for me, I laugh at it because by all accounts, people, because it beat Buffalo last week does not mean the Bengals are even close or even in the same league as the Patriots.
That's the
beauty of it.
It's one of the biggest misnomers. You know, and putting aside fantasy, number one ranked defense in the NFL. That means yardage. You could give up 99 yards and then have an interception at the goal line.
Totally.
And that's a pretty good defense, that's important to, note. But I think the combination of the Bengals, being very good in yardage, going up against Blaine Gabbert. I know Jacksonville's Maurice Jones-Drew, but every team has someone who's good. And in these other teams that this emailer is asking about, Detroit against Chicago. Detroit has given up a lot of points. They've come from behind a lot, which is more of a function of their opposing defense. They have given up a lot of points, even though Chicago's been very shaky. Texans against Oakland, that scares me. Darren McFadden can be explosive. Jason Campbell can move the ball. And Tampa Bay against San Fran, same thing as far as San Fran, some of the explosiveness. Bengals are the pick.
A no-brainer. That to me, that's just the red light flashing. There's no question. That's a great spot for the Bengals. I think they're going to win the game anyway.
I do, too.
It should be fairly low scoring.
If you need a defense this week and the Bengals are still available in your league, even if you have to turn our radio show off right now to go to another computer to pick them up, do it. You got to do it.
I think Detroit-Chicago, I think there's going to be there could be a few points scored in that game. You're talking about that's going to be an electric atmosphere in Detroit. They haven't had a Monday night game in a long, long time, or a game of this significance.
Right.
But the Bears have beaten them six straight times and 10 out of 12.
Yeah.
that
could be a tough one to figure.
How can a young team like that, will they be able to handle the pressure? It'll be interesting.
Yeah,
all right, fourth question from Higgy. I take the best kicker matchup each week. Which of these do you recommend? Ryan Lindell, Buffalo versus Philly, Robbie Gould, or Chicago versus Detroit, or Adam Vinatieri, Indy versus Kansas City.
I've never been into the kickers. Kicker is a valuable position in fantasy. It's just so hard to predict. See, the kicker in fantasy, it's completely dependent on the team and the weather conditions and all that, much more so, than other players. Of those three, I'd probably go Robbie Gould. And sometimes when I'm in complete doubt, and I would say that all three of these, I'd say Lindell and Gould, I'd probably not include Vinatieri because that offense just
absolutely
you don't want to deal with that offense.
Stagnant.
I'd probably go Lindell or Gould, and maybe my edge would just go, a game in a dome. It means you have zero other factors, wind, rain. It's still early in the season. It's not as big of a deal, but I'd probably just go edge Gould over Lindell. But Lindell is a fine choice too.
I would. If I were doing it, I might say Lindell, only because I think that's the game that's going to have the most points scored.
Points,
so percentages might be better, but you're right.
But maybe they'll score more touchdowns than
true,
field goal
exactly,
positions.
Exactly.
So, I'd say toss up there between Lindell and Gould. I definitely eliminate Vinatieri of that one.
Let's see. This is from Lyndon in California. Who would you start? Steve Smith versus New Orleans, Dwayne Bowe versus Indy, Jeremy Maclin versus Buffalo.
As of now, you got to ride Steve Smith. There's definitely a connection there between Newton and Smith. I think unfortunately, I'm still not sold on that Chiefs offense just because they won one game.
How can you be?
How
can you
team.
Be? I mean, I feel bad for that. Anybody who's we have to have must starts for people in that game, in that Indy Kansas City game. That is going to be ugly.
Oh, boy.
Ugly.
I mean, honestly, who do you start? There are very few players in that game. I'd probably have to go Steve Smith and just ride that hot hand. I think Macklin's a fine option too. And Bowe, Bowe is really the only potential fantasy starter on that team right now. And I just need a few more weeks, to see if there's much there, but I'd go Steve Smith.
Also says, keeping in mind that I get 5 points for the win, who do you start? New England versus the Jets, San Diego versus Denver, Pitt versus Tennessee. Is that a defensive question?
It must be defensive.
Because it doesn't specify. I'm assuming.
Hard to endorse starting the Patriots really against anyone right now. They haven't proven they can stop anyone. I'd probably say of those three, it's San Diego. I'm any team go, any defense going against Tennessee, I'm scared a little bit right now because Chris Johnson, we saw flashes last week.
2.9 attempts per carry,
right,
and no touchdowns.
Right. But
wow.
I think he's going to start to break out. I really do. He had a little bit of a better performance last week. This might not be the week that he's going to break out. So if we're just purely talking about best defense of those three, it's Pittsburgh. But I think San Diego, I'm not sold on Denver either.
I
don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe Pittsburgh's the pick there, slightly over San Diego, but I'm not.
I think that's a tough one
against Chris Johnson. I think that's a tough one.
I mean, can a guy like Chris Johnson is killing so many guys and girls this year in fantasy?
Yeah, I do.
I mean,
I imagine
he was the number one overall pick in probably three quarters of most people's drafts.
He hasn't
just been bad. He has sucked.
Yeah.
From a fantasy football standpoint, absolutely awful.
And he might be more, it's probably harder for someone who drafted Chris Johnson to recover than it is Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles, and I said this before, he gets hurt, he's out for the year, done. Mm-hmm. Out of sight, out of mind. There's no week to week.
Yeah.
Oh, is this going to be the week? Is it not? Chris Johnson, how do you not start him? Even up to this point, how do you say, I'm going to put him on the bench? You don't want him on the bench when he finally has that breakout performance. It's such a tough one to figure.
And the Steelers are desperate need of a win this week. They have to step it up. So that it could be another tough day for him. In Pittsburgh, that game, that could be a very, very tough game for him.
That could be a tough one.
Manny says, hey, guys, I picked up Stephen Ridley and Cedric Benson. Now, which would you pick up to start at tight end? I got Jeremy Graham and Gronkowski. Which one would you start?
Okay, Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski, that is a tremendous question. I think right now Jimmy Graham is the number one passing option for the New Orleans Saints right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas Gronkowski is two or three probably depending on the game behind Welker and maybe Hernandez and all that. I think if you look at most rankings of tight ends in general and for this week, it's going to be in some order, JerMichael Finley, Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, and you probably can't go wrong with any of them. I would probably go Jimmy Graham over Gronkowski slightly if I have the luxury of having both those guys. I don't know how you have both those guys. Although maybe going into the draft, you maybe could have gotten both, in mid rounds or whatever. I'd go slightly Jimmy Graham, and for a couple of different reasons. And with Gronkowski, on the one hand, if Aaron Hernandez is back, that means there's balls going, Hernandez might get some more passes thrown his way than Gronkowski. And also Gronkowski is so valuable as a run blocker that he might be in blocking more than he's out catching, whereas Jimmy Graham is a receiver. I say Graham slightly over Gronk.
I'm with you totally. And the other reason is I think, and again, this is not going to be the trend. It was last week with the 30-30 split between passing and rushing. I do think it'll be that way again for this particular game. So I do think Gronkowski will have fewer passes thrown to him.
Yep,
so I do think that's why I totally agree with 100%
I agree.
On that.
Yeah.
Let's get to another couple emails, and then I know our buddy Poker Mike is on the line and wants to share some of his thoughts. That Raytheon voice was freaky. Anyways, I traded Breeze away from, for MJF, Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm going to start Cam Newton. A bold move, but do you think Cam will hold up? I also have Steve Smith, so it's a great combo. Jeff from Raytheon.
Well, if the question is for this week, I think he's a good good guy to start this week. At home, there's going to be that there are going to be interceptions. I think for Cam Newton, it's just a matter of does he get that into 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns to offset it. I still have I still think over the course of the season he's going to have some rough games. I really do think there's going to be a few defensive coordinators out there that find a way to really confuse him and get him into a game where he has 125 yards, no touchdowns, and two picks. It just happens. He's a rookie quarterback. But I don't necessarily think it's this week. I think at home against New Orleans, that could be a shootout, and I'd feel comfortable with Newton.
Hello, Pete and Bilo and Kev. I've got Falcons defense, but Texans and Pats are in FA. Considering J.P. Losman is going against our D, I figured I should ask the biggest, the brightest guy in the world some advice. Wells, McGahee, Law Firm. Whom do I start?
Wells. If it's one guy, Wells, McGahee, Law Firm, it's honestly, it's probably in that order. If it's only one guy, I think it's got to be Wells. Wells had such a huge game last week. I think he may have been on some teams' benches because you know, there's definitely question marks about his health going in, but he has three touchdowns and all that. I think you go Wells. I think McGahee has proven to be a pretty solid running back, with Moreno being banged out, banged up. And I think Green Ellis is still going to be the Patriots' number one running back. I think week in, week out, when we look at how many carries are distributed for the Patriots, it's still going to be Green Ellis one, and Ridley will
especially
be
on the goal line, especially to get fantasy points.
Especially on the goal line.
Yeah.
So I think Ridley, not that I know this question isn't about Ridley, I think Ridley is going to be taking some of Green Ellis's carries, but I still think Green Ellis is the more valuable running back of the two. I just don't think in this question here, is he more valuable than Wells or McGahee? Definitely not more so than Wells, and it's a toss-up with McGahee.
Another email, Victor Cruz versus Seattle, or Colston versus Carolina, or David Nelson versus Philly. That's for wide receiver. Let's start there because he has another follow-up.
I think it's Colston. I think with Cruz is a decent guy to consider, but it sounds like Mario Manningham is going to be good to go, and Cruz is at best the third mm-hmm. option when those guys are healthy. As far as Colston, I think we were just talking about Jimmy Graham. I think Colston, when healthy, is a top option there. I'd have to go Colston. And the third one was,
David Nelson versus Philly.
Oh, David Nelson. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not sold enough on David Nelson that he would be ahead of any of these other guys.
I'll tell you what, though, that David Nelson to me, I think is an impressive player.
Absolutely.
This could be one of those games where, I agree with your assessment of the other two, but, I just see so many points being scored in this Philly Buffalo game. That could be.
I do too.
But Colston with Carolina, I think you gotta go Colston versus Carolina.
You gotta go Colston. I think of these three. Put yep. Victor Cruz aside. He's definitely yep. third. But I think you know Colston is the more highly accomplished guy. The one that is a much higher up option for Drew Brees in New Orleans than Nelson is for Fitzpatrick. I think they both could have big games, but I'd go Colston.
And then he says, at the flex, I have Mark Ingram versus Carolina or Michael Bush versus Houston, but I can also put one of the wide receivers mentioned there, too. Currently, I have Cruz at wide receiver and Ingram at flex.
Okay, get Cruz out of there. I would say, I would say between Ingram, Bush, and David Nelson, I would probably go... I would probably go Ingram, Nelson, Bush. I would say that flex should be between Ingram and Nelson. And, I think Ingram kind of, in some weeks he's kind of lost in the shuffle there in terms of touches. I mean, he's getting a good 10 to 12 touches a game. David Nelson might be a good flex option there. Maybe I'd go Nelson.
Before we get to Mike, one more. Harry in Vegas says, hi, Pete and B-Lo. Had a stroke of luck this week and picked up Cam Newton off waivers. My problem is that my other quarterback is Michael Vick. Would you start Vick versus the Bills or Newton versus the Saints? In a flex league, I have both Danny Woodhead and Deion Branch. Which would you start this week versus the Jets? Thanks for your help, Harry from Vegas. Well, the Danny Woodhead thing, he didn't practice
right.
again today, so that's an easy one.
Branch would be the guy over those two. Yeah. Now, Newton on the waiver wire, I don't know, there's something screwed up with the league there. Maybe it was an accidental.
How does that happen?
Maybe someone accidentally cut him and everybody wouldn't allow him to go back to his original team. But Newton or Vic, hard to go against Vic. I think Vic against Buffalo, that could be, as we've been talking about, a really explosive game, and Newton could too. I'd probably just go edge Newton. I mean, I'm sorry, edge Vic.
Yeah.
They both could get running yardage yep. and all that. They both could run for a touchdown. I'd probably go edge Vic.
Let's head to the, by the way, we're doing the show live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email us, webradio@patriots.com, or call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It is the Pete Shepard Show, of course, every Thursday from 4 to 5. It is the Fantasy Football Lowdown with the legendary Brian Lowe. And our other pal, Poker Mike, who was in last week, is now joining us here. Hi, Mike, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, Mike. You enjoyed your experience down here at the radio studio?
It was unbelievable. Yeah, good. we had a really, really good time. It's good to hear you back on here, though, B-Lo. I have to say it.
Back on, just one quick week out.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, it was good. I mean, other than the fact that Pete and I spent the first half of the show giving advice on the week 3 matchups, yeah. You know, it was still a success. But little glitch in the operation, but we managed.
Well, I was just forgetting to turn his microphone on. After we get the first 10 seconds, it was
gotcha. Gotcha.
It was fun.
Mistakes. What can I do?
Not always a smooth operation.
Brian knows. I told you, Mike. There's been a million players and coaches came into the studio that don't know how to turn a microphone on.
Oh, so yeah. No, it's not always a smooth operation. No. That's okay.
No,
in the end, it worked out, though. It was awesome.
Well, you know, you have Chris Johnson.
Yeah. I actually sent him a little fruit basket. I shot it over there to him. You know, it wasn't the lights out week that we were looking for, but we'll take it.
It was a step in the right direction.
How can you not be excited with 20 plus touches? You know, over 100 yards.
Right.
He's coming around. Tough matchup this week, but he's not the start of the week on my end. But I think you touched upon it before I called in. You know, it's possible. You know, you wouldn't think it looking at the schedule, but this could be a good week for him. I'm starting him with no question whatsoever. You know, if he can have a blockbuster week, that's phenomenal. But I'll take 100, and if he could sneak in a touchdown,
yeah,
that'll work.
And don't forget, Pittsburgh is much better against the pass than they are against the run.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are susceptible against the run, so you know that's definitely in Johnson's.
But they are a desperate team. That's the only thing I'm worried. And they're home. And really, if the Steelers don't win this game, it's going to be a long road for them to try and climb back up into the playoff hunt. If I had Chris Johnson on my team, despite all the numbers, I would be worried about this one.
Yeah.
Because the Steelers are going to be pissed off in this game. And if they're not, then shame on them. If that means Mike Tomlin, may have, of course, you never know. Roethlisberger's playing so poorly, he could throw three picks for touchdowns.
And
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's true. And Roethlisberger, Mendenhall both being banged up. I mean, that could affect that game too. That could be, we talk about some of the extremely explosive games this weekend. This could be one of the few that's a 17-13 kind of game.
Yeah.
The way these teams are going.
Absolutely. Continuing on with this Pittsburgh situation. I know you guys. Being there last week, I got a first-hand chance to see the amount of emails and questions that are coming in there, which is just showing just how much the show is taking off, and I think it's just phenomenal. But I just don't want to tie you guys up for too long, but I had a big topic.
Okay.
I've kind of been thinking about it, since Monday, staring at the computer on Tuesday nights, looking at the waiver wire, okay, and it's always a tough situation, coming into the beginning of the week. There's always those, one or two guys that just rise above, okay? This past week being Ryan Terrain. 2 weeks ago we had, a guy like Torrey Smith exploding for Baltimore. And what did he do this week? You really didn't see too much of
him. That's because Flacco sucked.
It's pretty obvious that, a lot of guys rush to the waiver wire. They pick this guy up. And just to explain where we are at in my league, we don't have a conventional waiver wire. Okay, instead of just going and free for all picking up players whenever you want to, we actually have a bidding process, kind of like the auction league.
Yep.
If there's any commissioners listening out there, it is by far the most effective way to work your waiver wire because it's the most fair. So anyway, we put bids in on Wednesday morning at 1 a.m. You start with $200, and the bids go in. Obviously, the highest bid wins that player. So I'm staring at the waiver wire, and again, my team is pretty well put together, but there's guys that stick out here. A guy like Stephen Ridley was actually picked up a few weeks ago, so he wasn't available. A guy like Isaac Redman. We talked about Victor Cruz. The wide receivers in Tampa Bay are both available, and Aurelius Ben and Parker.
Yep.
How much value? What kind of stock do you put into these guys? Ryan Terrain.
Well, just thinking just quickly about the Tampa Bay stuff. See, that to me could be interesting, but you just don't know what you have in San Francisco. I think Tampa Bay, pretty good team, but now they're going to flying across the country.
Yep.
San Francisco, I don't know what the hell San Francisco, I can't figure San Francisco out. I mean, they come back last week for three touchdowns down. I just don't know what effort you're going to get out of that. It's risky to me to play if it's counting on big time points from Tampa Bay. I could be dead wrong.
I agree with you.
It's just I think that's a tough spot because I don't know what San Francisco is all about.
Right.
I'd feel much better if Tampa were at home this week.
Correct. And moving forward, and again, like the Tampa Bay matchup, just not a great matchup. I'm not talking about those wide receivers, coming through for you this week. I mean, they might, but there's just upside to these guys. But you have to make that decision.
Yeah.
Especially with the bidding process. you know, you only have $200 for the whole year.
Right.
Okay, I talked to my friend Nate, actually. Team's a little banged up, trying to find his way, and he spent a lot of money on Ryan Terrain. I'm not even going to tell you how much because it was way too much, and I don't want to make him feel bad.
Right.
But he did. He spent literally, you know, we'll just say a good chunk of his money, and I talked to him earlier. I said, where did you come up with that number? And, I mean, he had his reasoning, and Terrain could pan out. Hightower, it's right. An iffy situation. They got to buy this week, which right. Is actually good for Hightower because he has an extra week to rest.
Yep.
But Terrain could emerge. I mean, he really could, and it could be, you know, worth the money that was spent. And
right. That
was kind of what I was thinking about, and the topic that I'm – the moral of my story is how much stock do you put into these guys that are coming off of that waiver wire?
Yeah, it's a great question. Obviously, there's many layers to it. There's, you know, are you looking for someone just for 1 week or, you know, because of a buy, or are you looking for a long-term guy? Is it a guy who's available because of an injury to the starter, or is it a guy who just had an explosive game? So, like, okay, Torrey Smith, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that Torrey Smith had 3 touchdowns in that game, I said, because I have one league where we have a bidding process. We only do, I think it's $80 you begin mm-hmm. with, so it's a little less. As soon as I saw that Torrey Smith had 3 touchdowns, I said, I will not have Torrey Smith because
nope.
I'm not going to fall into the trap of saying, whoa, Torrey Smith, 3 touchdowns. I figured, all right, let me look into this a little more. There must have been some kind of a fluky reason why
mm-hmm.
Torrey Smith had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's not going to, and, you know, sure enough, I mean, he didn't do much last week, and I just
he
don't.
He got some looks, though, Brian.
He got some looks, but I knew that there would be at least one person, or probably more, who would see those 3 touchdowns and go overboard on his bid.
Did you hear the way they were talking him up on Sunday Night Football last week?
Right.
I mean, it was nauseating.
And listen. A rookie has 3 touchdowns in a game. Good for him. He deserves a little bit of credit for that because that's a great way to shine. But you just knew that he's not going to, obviously he's not going to keep that up, but he probably also wouldn't be worth whatever you're going to bid for him.
Right.
Now, in the case of someone like Isaac Redman, I think this week, you know, it looks like Mendenhall's out.
Yep.
It looks like Roethlisberger might be banged up, which.
He's definitely banged up, which means
they might run the ball more. Now, the flip side of that is the Titans are going to know that they're going to run the ball a little more, so you got to weigh that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Isaac Redman is shaping up to be a pretty solid, at least a 1 week fill-in. If, let's say you have, Ray Rice, who's on a bye week this week, mm-hmm. or you have, Peyton Hillis, who's on a bye, and you need someone for 1 week, he's a reasonable guy to get. But that whole, you know, how much do you bid is, there's no easy answer because, you know, I remember last year when Michael Vick was available on waivers in week 1 or 2, whatever it was, that Cobb got hurt, and I remember having that same dilemma. Well, okay, how long is Cobb going to be out? Vic hasn't played much in recent years. How much do you go for him? And anyone who did not pick up Michael Vick in week 2 last year is regretting it to this day because he became the MVP of the league.
Right.
So there's no easy answer, and often in my opinion, and I tend to be more conservative overall, I need a little more of a sample size than just one game on a lot of these guys, but there's just so many different layers to this, to that kind of question. It makes it fun. It makes it interesting.
I mean,
because
exactly.
You want to see what the mindset is of the other guys in your league.
Right. And just, do they pan out or do they not pan out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, similar situation to that, you know, to the Washington, to the Pittsburgh with Redman and Mendenhall. You guys talked about McGahee. I mean, I don't even think, I think it was said that Moreno wasn't even on the injury, or if he's not on the injury report, he just, or from last week,
yep.
you know,
mm-hmm.
McGahee just stepped in there. You know, I mean, going back, he's been nothing but a ball of trouble for guys that have had him over the years, but, you know, he could be in a position, again, we talk about it every week that,
yeah.
you know, you just don't want Denver Broncos, but, you know, how much value does he have? I mean, I'd actually... You know, the fact that Mendenhall being that featured back, I mean he is banged up, but he'll come back full strength. You know, a
right.
guy like Redman, and he went for big money this
yeah.
past week in our league. Also, yeah, he may come around this week, but you know you still got Mwelde Moore, you know, kind of in the background there. You know,
yeah.
Where do you put Redman? So
yeah,
you know, I actually think out of the running backs, you have Terrain, you have Redman. You have McGahee, like those. Are they gonna make their move? Running backs, Ridley's kind of, you know, in a different situation. I think Terrain's the guy, so I got to give my boy Nate some props.
Yeah, no. Well, the thing about terrain, obviously, as you mentioned, they're on a bye week this week, so that that might affect how much of a bid people put in because they might need a guy that they need for this week. But I think terrain is very interesting because Mike Shanahan tends to cycle through running backs frequently, but when he rides a hot mm-hmm. hand, at least for a handful of weeks, and between Hightower, Roy Helu, however you say his name, and terrain. If terrain is the hot hand for a couple weeks, boy, ride him.
Yep.
Get him in there, understanding that there might be a shelf life for him, and he might go to the next guy. He might go to Roy Helu next. But I think terrain, I'm not even sure who Washington plays next week, but I think terrain going into that game is probably going to be seen as the most valuable Redskin running back. So it's a shrewd pickup.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mike,
well, before I bounce out of here, gentlemen, I got some picks.
All right, go ahead.
Pete, I was kind of going through the advice that we gave from last week, and it was like a 50-50. I remember one of the questions thrown our way, I think, was a Dez Bryant or a Manningham. We went with the Dez Bryant pick, so we looked like geniuses, but we looked good on that one.
Pretty good, sure.
But it was 50-50, we'll call it, but as it is every week.
Believe me. I mean, Pete calls me the expert every week. I'm 50-50, too. Give me a break. What do I know?
By the way, just real quick.
You're undefeated in our league, B-Lo.
I am undefeated in that
Washington's home against Philadelphia.
Philly. Yeah, that's right.
So terrain is going to be seen as a pretty solid option against Philly's. Mm-hmm. Philly right now has the 30th-ranked run defense. That mm-hmm. terrain will be a really good week six guy.
Yeah, so we got to. Well, you got to wait and see. But some throwing some picks at you, and then I'll let you go.
I'm writing them down.
a guy that I kind of stayed away from talking about last week, just because I knew my guys were listening to the show, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to plant the seed. A guy like Antonio Brown from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
All right, kind of what we just talked about, waiver wire pickup. I actually picked him up in both of my leagues. Was willing to spend the money.
Yeah, I like him a little more long term than this week in particular, but. Decent guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But either way you shake it, I had him written down with a star because I wanted to talk about him last week, but I couldn't. Huge upside here with this player. I know Roethlisberger, a little banged up, but it's still a high-powered offense, and they're going to come around. Hines Ward, got a feel for him, just isn't that same playmaker that he used to be. Mike Wallace, is lights out, but guy like Antonio Brown, sitting in that, they're calling him a slot receiver.
Yep.
Actually had a very productive week four. Should have even have had a better week four. Roethlisberger missed him miserably on a couple of passes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy I think you definitely got to keep your eye on. Throwing picks at you. I think Stephen Ridley has a big week. I don't even want to get into this game because just listening to sports radio today, and don't you just have that like dirty feeling when the Jets come to town?
Yeah, there's X factors, and it's just hard to read. It's hard to read this game. Do you look at 45-3 Patriots?
No, I don't look. I just said it's going to be a comfortable Patriots win, not 45-3. But I've seen every Jet game, every Jet play. I've seen the Patriots. I saw every play the Raiders had. I knew the Jets gave that game away to the Raiders, and I knew that this is a bad week for the Jets, a third straight game on the road.
Right.
They can't stop the run. They have to throw the ball. The Patriots are doing both very well right now. They're well-balanced. I think it's a long day for the Jets. Right now. Now, when they play again in a few weeks, maybe it's different. But right now, on Sunday, it's a bad spot for the Jets, just like last week was a bad spot for the Raiders.
Yeah.
But you did say, we talked, just to play devil's advocate for a second, the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game.
Mm-hmm.
2-2 Pittsburgh, division game against 3-1 Tennessee, a little bit of desperation. Is that desperation factor already there for the Jets? I mean, can they, they can certainly recover from losing this game and make the playoffs.
But the Steelers are home. I think that is a big factor. I think if this game were in New Jersey this week, I would probably feel a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But again, you look at the numbers when a team goes on the road three straight times in that third week, with the exception of the Patriots, who've done it several times under the Belichick era and won the game, a lot of times won all three. But very few teams are capable of doing it. The Jets, I am just, they are not special enough. I've said it all week long. They are not special enough to overcome mediocre quarterback play. It's a quarterback league. They're not talented enough.
And
they're not as good as last year, number one. I'd said that at the beginning of the year. And I just think it's a tough spot for them this
year.
And
they're not running the ball well either.
Not at all.
And it looks like Mangold is going to play, and he can be a difference maker for them just in terms of clearly.
Except what you have to be careful with that is how effective is Mangold going to be?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can he move laterally, horizontally? horizontally. I mean, he's going to make it through the whole game because we saw Baxter last week, and the other left guard that came in was absolutely disastrous.
And if he's going up against, you know, snap in, snap out against Vince Wilfork, potentially Albert Haynesworth, that could be a very tough spot for the Jets O-line.
Mikey, thanks a lot, my friend.
All right, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, good
luck this
weekend.
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, Mikey. Bye-bye. That's our buddy, Mike Cambria, Poker Mike. He did actually do a really nice job last week.
No
one's B-Lo, but I mean,
thanks.
You know, he definitely sounded like I know he knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
Another quick email before I take a quick break because I need some water. Redmond or LT for my flex option this week. I was saying LT because the Pats can't defend the back catching the ball.
Well, I would say that if Rashard Mendenhall doesn't play, definitely Redmond. I think if Mendenhall does play, it's a little bit tighter. Of course, again, the 1 o'clock 4:15 thing, you don't know. Well, one thing I'd say about Tomlinson is, you know, he's the Jets' second leading receiver, which you know tells me, okay, you know, Sanchez looks to him maybe as a safety valve. He still has the ability to make some plays with the ball in his hands. I would say that it's a lot closer than you might think between those two. But I'd go edge Redmond because I think even with or without Mendenhall being healthy, I think Redmond's going to be a little bit more involved in the offense, and the Jets may have another shaky week.
All right, email us at webradiopatriots.com. It's the Pete Shepard Show, and of course, here for another 15 minutes or so or 10 minutes or so is Brian Lowe. It's the Patriots. It's the Fantasy Football Lowdown with Brian Lowe, taking all your emails and phone calls, and we'll be back right here on Patriots.com right after this.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 89115 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show. Of course, every Thursday from 4 to 5, it is the Fantasy Football Lowdown with Brian Lowe is here. Just quickly, the injury report in case you guys don't know, Edelman, Mayo, Vollmer, Woodhead all did not participate today. Limited today, Kyle Arrington, Josh Barrett, Lee Bodden, Chung, Rozai Dowling, Sean Ellis, Gary Guyton, Albert Hainsworth, at least he's out there. Aaron Hernandez out there with a brace on, but nevertheless, still out there. Kyle Love, Mike Wright, surprising that Mike's out there, and Dane Fletcher, full participation. But the other ones I just read, the other 10 or so, all limited today. That could be, if Aaron Hernandez can somehow find his way on the field this week. He's about 3 weeks ahead of schedule.
Fire. Yeah, I think so. And I still think it's 50-50.
Oh, I'm with you. Definitely.
I'm not convinced. And, you know, if he does, he actually did pretty well against the Jets in the regular season last year. Not so much in the postseason, but, you know, in the two regular, in fact, week two, really his second game of his career. I think he had six catch. I think he had 100 yards actually, mm-hmm. and a touchdown, I believe.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown in one of the games against. Actually, no, I think it was the 45-3 game. He had a touchdown, but did pretty well.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And let's see. Back to the. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Craig says, "Hi guys, two quick questions. Sorry if you've already covered the topic. That doesn't matter. One, should I start Stephen Ridley or Willis McGahee for a bye week replacement? That's the first one.
Probably lean toward McGahee. McGahee. I think there's better chance that he gets into scoring position and has more looks than Ridley. But Ridley's a decent option. I wouldn't get too excited, too carried away. I just think he has some explosiveness. He has a chance, you know, any given time he gets the ball to break one mm-hmm. through, and the offensive line is doing well. But edge McGahee.
Also from Craig, I have Tim Hightower and picked up Ryan Taurian in case he keeps getting the carries. Do you think they're both worth keeping with a small bench? Parentheses, only five spots.
Well, unfortunately, with Mike Shanahan and his running backs, you do have to keep both. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to keep both at least through next week. You know, they're on the bye this week, and then monitor it. You know, I think you're going to want to have both guys on your roster into the day of week six and see what happens in week six, health, who gets more carries. If one guy has a significant amount more carries and they were both healthy, that gives you a pretty good clue. Then again, if one guy, you know, if they kind of both play a little bit, both do well, maybe you have some trade bait. But for right now, if you've got both, you got to keep both. You can't risk cutting one of them.
No, I'm with you. Like we said, a lot of I see you know, three or four, two especially. Like I said, really fantasy football's dream coming up. You know, I think there's only a couple times a year where you get these kind of games where, it's just almost a no-brainer that Philadelphia and Buffalo are going to be tons and tons of points, and Green Bay and Atlanta. Yep. You rarely see, and we were lucky opening night with Green Bay and New Orleans. You knew that was going to be a fantasy football dream as well. So I'm really, really going to be intrigued by those two games. And the Detroit to Chicago game, I think, has a potential to be very high score. I hate Cutler, but the Bears have, it's the Bears and Lions, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Lions handle now pressure when they're expected to win.
I think it's a great Monday night game, in the sense that Detroit is one of the two undefeated teams in the league. yet there's still some unknowns. It's not like they're, if they're not on a national TV game, you're not going to read or see too much about
it. Tony Romo doesn't play Sunday. Dallas might have won by 30.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up by three touchdowns, and they were ready to blow them out by a lot. And that was one of the most disgusting performances I've ever seen. Again, we talked, Romo, I think you were away last week. He comes back off the bench, and he was healed.
Yep.
Whatever God he believes in, he was healed. But, I mean, if it's Tony Romo from a fantasy football standpoint, he's got to be the most frustrating player, because he's got to be a frontline guy that most of you guys have, right?
Right, right.
He's got to be the most frustrating player to watch. How many times did he lose for interceptions and pick sixes?
Probably lose, you either lose two or four, probably four points.
A lot of points, despite the numbers he did put up.
Oh yeah,
he just counters himself.
Yeah, three interceptions
sucks.
that could really kill you. And that's you need a ton of yardage and some touchdowns to offset that. But I think the Detroit Chicago game, I'm with you. I think that could be a high scoring game. I think that's just a neat game because I'm curious to see Detroit, kind of watch them through a full game. I think Chicago, seeing Forte is interesting. Cutler is interesting. He's been terrible, but it's interesting. Yeah. You want to see, if they have anything going for themselves.
The other one as my sleeper game that I think could happen besides Green Bay, Atlanta and Buffalo, Philly, and I think Detroit, Chicago. The other game I see that I think has potential to be maybe a little more high scoring than most people might be looking at is Houston and Oakland. I just got a feeling there's going to be a lot of points in that game as well.
Yeah, I think Aaron Foster is going to have a huge game. Mm. I mean, he had 30 carries last week. I would advise Gary Kubiak to not keep that up. However, I really think in this particular case, with no Andre Johnson and Arian Foster now healthy and running pretty well, I think it's going to be a high scoring game too. I don't think it's going to be a great week for Matt Schaub. I don't think he's going to be terrible, but I just don't think he's going to have a ton of yardage, ton of touchdowns. I think he's going to revolve around the run. I think Oakland can put up some points. I definitely think Darren McFadden is going to be able to have another huge rushing performance, a la what he did against the Jets a couple weeks ago. So, I'm with you. I think that could be a game where both teams creep close to 30 points for sure. And then, I think some of the duds are, Arizona, Minnesota, I think could be a dud fantasy-wise.
Oh, God, yeah.
Certainly Minnesota is there's not much, they don't have much going for them.
Except for
Adrian Peterson.
And that's it.
And you've got to figure, despite what Leslie Frazier has been saying, they're going to have to make a quarterback.
Oh, they have to. They have to.
And you drafted a guy 12th overall.
Yeah.
And if you're 0-4 and if you become 0-5, at that point, you need a spark to make anything happen this year. And then if you start realizing it's a lost cause this year, give Christian Ponder the chances. Who knows how he's going to do, but mm-hmm. Donovan McNabb is not your future. If he's not solving the problem this year, get him out of there. And then, from a fantasy standpoint, certainly Christian Ponder is not a guy that people are going to scramble after because, who knows? But if let's say week 7, for instance, he gets an opportunity to start and he has a 225-yard, two touchdown, one interception day, that'll be a big time waiver wire pickup for teams that need a quarterback.
I also think a team that I don't know how Seattle came back last week and put all those points up on Atlanta. That's one of the few games because it was a late game and I was focusing not on the red zone, but that's one of the few I haven't really gone back and looked at the highlight. I don't know how the hell they pulled that off, but I got to figure this week because I think Seattle stinks. Come across, I think the Giants might be able to put some big numbers in that game too. If you have players from the Giants, this could be one of Eli's biggest weeks. Seattle's terrible.
Yeah, and Giants,
especially defensively, if you got the Giants on defense, that's one maybe one considered too.
No question about it. Giants defense, if they're available, I mean they're a little better ranked going into the season than Cincinnati, so they might not be available on waiver wires. But I think Seattle, you've got that whole thing about West Coast teams coming east for a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Even if Seattle has a good team, you figure that could be a letdown. But absolutely, Giants defense is a great pick this week. There is no one, I mean no one, of value on Seattle that I'd feel comfortable with.
That's why I got to go back and see how the hell they scored 28 points because
I think Sidney Rice
scored 28 all year.
I think Sidney Rice had some of that.
There's a pick six in that game.
I think it was pick six too,
by Ryan. Yeah. I'm not sure I can't remember because it was off my radar while the Patriots were playing.
Well, definitely Giants D is worthwhile. No
right, Bilo, any closing thoughts?
No, I think you nailed it right at the beginning with some of these big-time games. Always
that's
like
what
to
I do.
See.
Yeah,
yeah you did, exactly. Always like to see what are the games that are going to be huge fantasy implications. And I think we covered a lot of ground here. I think certainly from the Patriots standpoint, things to monitor are Hernandez. My guess would be if I had to put a guess on it right now, I say he does not play. And if he does play, I'd still be worried about starting him because he'll probably be limited. He may, you know, maybe it's just sort of a decoy right now. You know, hey, make sure the Jets are aware. Hey, spend some time focusing on Hernandez. Focus on Hernandez, and he doesn't play. And then Ridley. Pick up Ridley if he's available. Just use caution.
Yeah.
Don't get too excited. I think we're going to see him get, you know, 8 to 10 carries a lot of times. Some weeks it'll be like Oakland where he turns those 8 or 10
carries.
Don't
expect 96 and a touchdown tomorrow.
No,
and he broke that touchdown. It was a great touchdown run. Great touchdown run, but
great blocking.
Don't expect that.
No. Don't expect that, but understand that he's capable. You know, if you run into a week coming up here where, say, you have two running backs on bye week and you really need a guy, he's definitely valuable. He can definitely make it happen. So some interesting guys on the Patriots side, but we covered a lot of ground here and we want to keep those emails coming for next week.
One more email?
I'm here. No question about it.
All right. It's from Peter. All right. I'm in the bye week hell over here. First, I got Andy Dalton starting because of Joe Flacco at quarterback, but I got more problems. I need you to pick 2 to 3 receivers and says 0 to 1 running back here, guys.
I can easily pick 0 running backs. Sure,
David Nelson, Michael Crabtree, Mike Williams, Lance Moore, Ryan Grant, Ocho Cinco, Jacoby Jones. And lastly, shout out to the show, the league, the season 3 premieres tonight. Any of you watch that show? No, I don't.
You know, I actually don't. I've heard good things about it. I think it's a pretty good, I've heard good things about it as a fantasy show. But just real quick, you know, as far as the 2 to 3 receivers, I kind of like Michael Crabtree. I think he's going to start to pick up steam a little bit. Alex Smith has actually done pretty well this year. He's having a pretty decent year. Not great. But he's actually not killing that. He's not killing fantasy teams. He's not killing his own team. I would say, I don't know if I'm as high on David Nelson as you are right now. I like him. And maybe in this week,
I think he's going to be a very good player. I do think in this is one of those games. I wouldn't be shocked if he lights it up on against the Eagles.
I'll go this for the 3 receivers. I'll go David Nelson, Michael Crabtree, and Lance Moore. I'm actually going to put Mike Williams aside, though it's close.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 0 to 1 running backs. I mean, you're only mentioning one here, Ryan Grant, and I have very little faith in him. If you got to start one, sure, start him. But I think there's injury concerns, and I just don't think he is necessarily ahead of James Starks.
Right, Bilo, you're the man. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Hey,
good luck.
Thank you. I mean, we'll see you then.
This is going to be a fantastic week of football.
Should
again.
Be fun. I think in one of my leagues, I'm going up against Kevin, so I got to go trash talk him now.
Oh God, that's going to be real interesting.
I better trounce him. I'll be embarrassed.
Never
if
the
I
end
don't.
Of it.
I'll be
never
embarrassed.
The end
I don't.
Of it. All right,
Pete,
thanks, Bilo.
All right, enjoy the next hour.
Brian Lowe, the Fantasy Football Lowdown, of course, every Thursday right here on the Pete Shepard Show between 4 and 5 o'clock. Going to take a quick break, then come back and get your thoughts and predictions on the Patriots and the Jets. We got some interesting locker room sound today as well. Wait till you hear Aaron Hernandez, his own stand-up show today for a lot of the press conference with him and others as well. Again, we are broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email us at webradio at patriots.com, or you can Facebook me, PETSHEPPARD, and also call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Pete Shepard Show until 6. We're back on patriots.com right after this.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon, your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10, booyah, touchdown Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Drop. Marshawn will jump on it right wing corner. Marshawn looking. Curls out to the right circle. Spins back in deep. Feeds it in front. Score! Patrice Bergeron on the slot. Set up by Marshawn. And the Bruins with a 1-0 lead in the first. Marshawn in the left corner. Marshawn works his way free. Along the left wing side. In the corner still. Banks it out to the left point. Seidenberg along, wrist shot, St. Luongo, rebound loose in front, Marchand trying to settle it, kicks it around the net, wraparound chance, St. Luongo, loose puck, score! And the Bruins are up 2-0!
Our team just had incredible character. Every time we got our backs pushed against the wall, we responded. We had to win this series the hard way. We had to come on the road for Game 7 against the President's Trophy winner for the season, and the guys, we did it.
Campbell and Kessler on the draw. 2:36 to go in the period. Campbell a big win. Seidenberg will gun it up the boards. Kicks in the middle of Bergeron. Bergeron trying to settle it down the middle, being chased. Bergeron to the net. Bumped down by Erhoff. Score! It rolled in. Bergeron gets it shorthanded. And the Bruins have a 3-0 lead.
It's a huge honor. I'm so humbled to be in this position. It was so hard, such a long road, such a grind. So happy for everybody to be able to cherish this moment, and I will never forget this.
And they'll play on. A puck at center. It's loose. Marchand has it with an open net in front of him. Marchand, a rush shot, and he scores! Brad Marchand for the empty net goal, and a 4-0 lead for the Bruins with 2:44 left.
That also includes our fans in Boston. Since 1972, you know, we've heard that, that they hadn't won a cup for a long time, and we're bringing it back home, and we can't be happier for those guys that have supported our fans, support us through all of this, our families, you know, and for my parents in from Ottawa, because you know what, all the support they gave me through all my life, the least I could do is bring him here for a special moment, so I'm so happy to have him here, and you know, you got to remember the people that supported you, and that's what makes me happy right now, is I'm able to give back.
Get the duck boats ready after 30 long years. The cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
Gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Gives you goosebumps, and they're going to raise a Stanley Cup banner. So that's a little tribute to the Boston Bruins, my beloved Boston Bruins. And most of you who know me know what a huge hockey fan that I am as well. And so proud of those guys and the way they the way it all came together. And when people were counting them out, and I kept telling people, much like I tell some Patriot fans sometimes, to just relax. And they're going to get it going. And even in the Montreal series, people tried to count them out. And I said, well, just wait for game three. If they get this one, be careful because it's going to be a series again. And it was. And they went on to win in seven. And, you know, the rest. It's just it's a great, great time. So congratulations once again to the Bruins, Claude Julien. Of course, all the players and Cam Neely and everyone else in the front office did such a great job. We wish them all the best in the world. And it's good news for the Bruins, too, because everybody on ESPN doesn't think they're going to be able to repeat. So I already feel confident that they will be able to. I saw Barry Melrose's predictions already, and he was, as usual, way off. Absolutely way off. So we shall see. Anyway, back here on the second hour of Pete Shepard Show. We're here until 6 o'clock. Going to do my picks coming up, 20 and 12 in my last 2 weeks, by the way, and including 4-0 in my Meat Shepherd's Miraculous Locks, which is the one game I think will go above and beyond all. And you should be able to afford two houses by now going 4-0 the last couple of weeks if you parlayed it. You know what I'm talking about, if you know what that means. Anyway. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, our list is back on web radio at patriots.com. Of course, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. I read all emails, like this one from Gene in Daytona. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, I'd like your thoughts on this subject. Does it seem to you that some coaches are pressured by either their poor record or their own job security to bring players back from injury too early? They put guys on the field that are not 100%, and the players do not perform well or worse, re-injures himself. I do not see the desperation in Bill Belichick's eyes or voice that I hear in some other coaches. I'm pretty sure if a player comes back from the Pats, he is 100% healthy. It seems to me our coach, Bill Belichick, is overly cautious about bringing a guy back too soon. I do not know if I can say that for other teams. I saw a video of Nick Mangold, and he did not look like he was ready to go, ready to me. I feel he's being pressured to come back too early because of the Jets situation. I hope I'm wrong. Worst case situation for a player with a 90% healed injury is the trainers overly tape up the area and player favors the injured area and gets a worse injury. I'm happy to hear Hernandez, Haynesworth, and Mike Wright are back, and I trust that they are 100% healthy just because of the guy we have coaching. He will never sacrifice his team's future for a win today. We are so lucky to have this guy coaching our team. You wonder why Patriot fans never question this man. It is a very simple. We trust with him, with our team's future. And he says, Patriots 20, Jets 9, Gene in Daytona. Well, again, you just have to be careful here, Gene. Just because, as we talked about, just bringing this up with Brian, just because Hernandez and Haynesworth and those guys were out there does not mean they're going to play. And I totally agree with Brian. I still think, especially Hernandez, 50-50 that he plays. I'm glad he's out there. That shows me maybe he's a lot. I mean, I was expecting him out 5 weeks. It'll be three. But he's definitely, it seems to me, at least he's back out on the field. That's a good sign. Whether he plays or not, I still think it's very much in the air. Same thing with Haynesworth. Same thing with any of these guys who are limited. Any of these guys. You know, we'll see. Come Friday, see the injury report then. And a lot of times things happen on the weekend where, you know, players get declared out on Saturdays too. So it's a little ways to go here before we go crazy. But I'll be doing my picks coming up, oh, in about a half hour or so. And you don't want to miss that because I got some doozies for you today. But again, taking your predictions and on the Patriots and Jets and how you guys think this game is going to pan out. I've given you all I can give you this week about how I'll reiterate it once again. I think it's a bad spot for the Jets, like I thought last week was a bad spot for the Raiders. Jets are coming in here three straight games on the road. They're not playing well. I know the emotions and Rex Ryan and his Hall of Fame jackets and attire and cutesy little things that he says and all that stuff. But that's just not, to me, enough to overcome bad quarterback play, which is what Sanchez has been doing lately, and they can't run the ball. I think the way the Patriots are going to approach this game, which is a well-balanced attack, I think will prove me right again that they will win this game comfortably. I'll give you the scores again, like I said, in about a half an hour. Also won, Kev, do we have Aaron Hernandez? We do? Okay. Aaron Hernandez was back on the, practice field today. Again, limited participation, but as I said, good sign that he was back out there. Interesting, little exchange with the media earlier today.
I don't think I can put that on paper.
How do you transcribe that?
Any more in depth?
This is how you feel when you wake up in the morning.
Well, I feel pretty good. I'm just trying to get healthy, take it day by day.
Is it side to side or forward that's bothering you the most?
I take it day by day, and we'll see how it feels.
What have you been your impressions of the team in your absence?
Feel like they look pretty good. Obviously, we have to improve every week and get better day by day as the year goes on. But so far, everything's pretty good.
Does it concern you that there's only been one tight end on the roster the last couple of weeks?
Not really, because he's a beast and he could do so many things that we really only need one.
Since you got off to such a good start, has it been kind of frustrating to be on the sideline the last couple of weeks?
It's always frustrating when you love the game, but I say I'm just taking it day by day. Can't wait to get back.
Are they holding you back, or are you pushing further to get harder to get back?
Well, like I said, I'm taking it day by day, and we'll see what happens.
Revis was talking about why you're playing a tough matchup and how you can't put a linebacker on you, can't really put a safety on you. He said he could cover you. What would you think of that matchup?
I think it would be a good matchup.
Would you like your chances?
You could change that into a story now,
are you talking?
What in the wide, wide world of sports? It sounded like the old thing we used to do on EEI with Max. We wanted to make him some bacon and eggs. Oh God, that is just too funny. That's unique. We've been around, I've been around this team a long time, and been in the locker rooms many times, seen a lot of interesting things from coaches and players, and that's going to be right up there, Kev, with some of the most unique things I've ever heard. And I think he's goofing around, obviously, but he wasn't going to be baited.
Yeah, he did it. He did it in a joking way.
Of course.
Malicious.
No,
it was
very of course
pleasant to the reporters.
Absolutely. And I've heard nothing but good things about him in the locker room. So I'm going to answer calls like that. If I get stumped, I don't know. Oh, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Or you can Facebook me all your predictions that you'd like, or tell me why you think the Jets have a chance to win this game. This is from Chad. Hello, Pete and Kev. I'd like to know your opinion on what kind of offense do you anticipate from the Jets. Mangold will be playing this Sunday, not because he's in shape, but because if he doesn't, the offense crumbles, but they have the worst running game in the league and have already allowed 11 sacks. Other than that, it's here the Patriots edge the Jets 30-17. I have a feeling the Pats D will shut down the Jets running game and then force J.P. Lossman to throw the ball. Our offense will score points. Tom will display that no-huddle offense and simply destroy the Jets front D, but I do think Patriots will only have a stable lead around the 6 minute of the fourth quarter when the Pats will kill the clock with law firm. Patriots are 62-3 when they score 30 or more points since 2007. And then he says, Kevin, do you know you have beautiful feet?
Really beautiful feet.
I don't know how he knows that, Kevin. Something you want to share with us in the class? I'm not sure. Well,
you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave back.
30-17 is reasonable. I think the game, that's a comfortable win for the Patriots. That's the kind of score, I'm talking about. Again, I'll give you mine in about a half an hour. I'm not sure, hurry up offense. I think maybe a spot or two in this game. It all depends on what Bill thinks. And if he thinks he can wear down like he did in Miami, the Jets defense. But I have a feeling this Jets defense will be in much better shape than what we saw in Miami on week one in the heat. So, I just expect a well-balanced attack. I think it's a very similar offensive game plan like it was against the Raiders this particular week. I think these 2 weeks are going to be similar because of the opponent they're playing. And as far as the Jets can't run the ball. Not saying they won't pick up a few yards here and there, but I think they're going to try to make Sanchez throw to beat him. That's what they're going to do. And I'm going to predict there will be a Patriot sack this week. In fact, I'm going to say two, Kevin. There'll be two Patriot sacks this week. Mark it down. One of my locks of the week is two sacks by the Patriots. Again, just going through Chad's email again, but Mangold, do not go crazy with Mangold. Just like I said with her, just because Mangold is practicing and is expected to play does not mean he's going to be 100%. I don't know what his status is going to be. He's got a high ankle sprain, and that can be very tough on the center. How much pressure he can put on that when he's dropping back and, blocking. I mean, can he push off and block forward? I mean, is he in pass protection? I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. It's not just simple like he's going to go out there and all of a sudden the snap exchange between he and Sanchez is going to be great. I'm sure that won't be the problem, but what percentage of health is Mangold at? And if he's not, and they have to bring Baxter in again, or Slauson, they're screwed. If it's anything like last week, they will be screwed. So let's just wait and see. The matchup to me that's going to be most intriguing, the player on the Jets, as most everyone of you are going to be watching for the most part, is going to be Revis. I want to see where they put Revis. You know, do they put him on Welker? Do they try to stay with him? Are they going to be able to cover Gronkowski? And don't just think they're going to, simulate last year's playoff win here, and it's going to be that simple, because it just doesn't work that way in the NFL. Try telling everybody that every week. I'm sure the Jets will try to do some of the things they did last year, but things are different now. Things are different. The Jets team is a little different. The Patriots team is better, and the Jets team, in my opinion, is worse. Three straight road games for the Jets. Again, the injury report, Edelman, Mayo, Vollmer, Woodhead did not participate today. These guys are all limited. Arrington, Barrett, Bodden, Chung, Dowling, Ellis, Guyton, Haynesworth, Hernandez, Love, and Wright. All those guys. And for the Jets, Logan Payne is out. Brian Thomas is out. Today, Garrett McIntyre did not participate. Limited today for the Jets. Nick Mangold, Calvin Pace were limited. The only two limited. Everybody else was full. So, who knows? Limited does not necessarily mean you're going to play. We'll see what happens. I expect Mangold to give it a go. But how effective he's going to be is an entirely, entirely different story. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and you can Facebook me as well. Let's get some predictions going here. The Pete Shepard Show here until 6 o'clock. I'll give you all my picks coming up in just a little bit. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well, 508-298-0398. That is the number to call. And, again, we got some interesting games coming up this week. I'm glad Buffalo and I hope this is the game. With Red Zone Channel, it's so great anyway. But I really, if Philadelphia and Buffalo is on CBS at 1 o'clock at 4, I'm wondering if they are or not. They may not be. In this area, that's the game I want to see. I hope that's the game they're going to show. Actually, that could be a Fox game, right? That's a Fox game because Philadelphia NFC team's on the road. So that'll be a Fox game. Well, I hope that's the game they're showing on Fox at 1 o'clock. And, of course, Green Bay and Atlanta at night, that's going to be, has the potential to be a great game. We shall see. Again, I'll give you all my scores in a little bit. And Monday night game is intriguing. Detroit at home against the Bears, a team that they have had really big problems against. But again, it's a new year. There's different players. Detroit's confident right now, coming back after Tony Romo handed them that game with three touchdowns. Come from behind win by the Lions. We shall see if Jay Cutler can step it up and handle the Lions. They've beaten the Lions 10 out of 12 times. Gene says, who do you think will do the kick return duties if Edelman can't go? I don't know. I'm sure they're working on. I'm sure they worked on that this week. That could be interesting. You know, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, there's several guys that could do it. I mean, you can always put, you know, maybe one of the safeties, or you could put one of the possibly. I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could use Welker. I don't think they want to do that. I mean, I suppose you could use Welker. He's done it before. Matthew Slater, I'm sure, will be. But Matthew Slater will be the first choice. Yeah, I mean, he's shown flashes that he can do the job. So, I'd say Matthew Slater would probably be the first choice. Taylor Price, if he's activated? I don't think so, but if he's activated. And I'm looking for Chad Ochocinco this week. I'm going to keep saying it until he does. To finally score his first touchdown. Absolutely. All right, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Let's head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in. Here's a Zach in New York. Zach, you're up on the Pete Shepard Show. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, I live in New York, and the feel in New York right now with the Jets is not very good. A lot of fans think the Patriots are just going to roll over the Jets this week. I think it's going to be more of a close game. I like the Patriots defense to have a big week this week. But I think it's all contingent on the pass rush. And it looks like hopefully Haynesworth will play. Sean Ellis, let's see if he has a big game going up against his former team. Get the pass rush, and then it's going to help out the secondary.
Yeah, well, again, that's always a key. I think they're going to get a couple of sacks this week. But don't forget, last week, you know, their goal was not to go after Campbell and make him, go after Campbell and sack him. Their goal was to make him throw to let him beat you. They didn't put a whole lot of pressure and a whole lot of blitzes on Campbell. They kind of wanted to stop McFadden, which for the most part they did, really, except for one run. They stopped him cold for the most part the rest of the day. So, but this game plan will be a little bit different, and I think they will get to him. I do think, especially if Haynesworth is in there, that they will somehow find a way. They'll get to Sanchez this week. And Sanchez is really, really shaky right now. And this is the first time this early in the season, besides his rookie year, where he's going through some major bumps in the road here. He looks like crap the last 2 weeks.
Now, I asked this question last night to Joe Beningo in New York,
yep,
as he was on my talk show.
Yep.
And I said, you know, over the course of Darrell Revis' career, they really have just put him on one side. And Wes Welker has just been such a dominant force in the league this year. He's averaging almost 150 yards per game. Do you think Rex Ryan will find the way to just match him up individually against Welker, or is it more just going to be Darrell Revis on one side?
That's the big question. I mean, that's the big question, I think. I was just mentioning that before you called, Zach. I mean, well, thanks a lot for the call. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what Rex Ryan does. He's going to have to do something. But if he wants to put if he wants to take Welker out of the game, he's going to make some big sacrifices, because that's where Deion Branch had a huge game last year against the Jets here, the 45-3. Again, I'm not predicting 45-3. It won't be a big blowout like that. But again, a comfortable win by the period. But I think Deion, if he's going to put Revis on Welker, then you got to figure, you have to figure that Ochocinco and Branch are going to have decent games. And he maybe even Slater, and certainly Gronkowski. I mean, I gotta, not to mention the balanced running attack, which I'm not sure the Jets are capable of stopping right now. And we do get Philly and Buffalo this week as the early game on Fox, which is good. Yeah, nothing like the Red Zone Channel, but this is gonna be one of those games. Philly Buffalo is a game I do not want to miss. That's gonna be points, and more points, in my opinion. We shall see. But that's the whole key. I mean, that's the matchup everybody's going to be looking for, is where will Revis go? I mean, you know, Deion Branch has been okay the last couple of weeks. Scored the touchdown last week. Are you going to put your best corner on Deion Branch? Are you going to put him on Chad Ochocinco? Are you going to put him on Welker? I don't know of anybody who can cover Welker besides Revis on a consistent basis. I mean, he killed the Jets last year and a few times in his career. That is the number one question, and I don't think anybody can really give you an honest answer. I think Rex will have him on Welker a few times. I don't know how anyone can definitely say for sure what Rex is thinking, what the game plan is going to be. We'll just have to wait and see. But as always, it's a chess game, and it's going to be, you know, Belichick, Ryan matching, you know, trying to outguess each other all the time. And that includes, you know, blitz packages and all that stuff. But if people think that they're just going to watch the blueprint of a playoff game last year and think it's that easy and the Jets just have to repeat what they did, those things just don't happen in the NFL. They don't happen. You got to consider everything I've been talking about this week, about the Jets' opponents, how they've played, games they've given away, bad offense, traveling three straight weeks on the road. Mangold, who knows how healthy he is, despite him being in practice today. And one of the also intangibles, I think, is other intangibles to watch for are, or is, Tom Brady wants to win this game very, very badly. Very badly. I mean, he's upset. I mean, that's not upset. I mean, it's this loss last year has stuck in his craw. He said all the right things this week. And I think his business as usual. I think he's just going to go out there and have one hell of a game. And he may not have to throw the ball more than 30 times. He threw 30 last week. I don't expect it much more than that this week. I really don't. I think it's going to be a pretty much well-balanced attack. Well-balanced attack. Who else we have from the locker room today, anybody that we haven't heard from? See if we can find that out, just because I like to keep all of you people informed. Like Aaron Hernandez was just absolutely hysterical. And again, it's on Patriots.com. If you missed it, when I played it a few minutes ago, you can certainly go back and listen to us. It sounded like he was at the doctor's office and having a tonsil examination for most of that interview, but it is going to be a lot. But I got to tell you, I'm not just this week, and maybe it's because the Jets have played so poorly the last 2 weeks. It just seems to me that, and I know kickoff will be different. I'm saying for the whole week, though, and maybe it's because the Red Sox and all that crap that they're going through is overshadowing. People are so still upset about everything that's transpired over on Yawkey Way that this game really hasn't sunk in yet. Maybe it will by Saturday, but it's just not, you're not getting the same kind of a feel right now anyway.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Yeah. As you did, you know, during week 11 last year when both teams were 9-2. But that was much later in the season. There was a lot more on the line during that game. Kev, what were we going to say?
Would you like some Gronkowski?
Oh, absolutely. Can't get enough of Gronk. Excuse me. Rob Gronkowski early today from the Patriots locker room.
How much enjoyment do you get out of blocking?
I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of being a tight end, and it's fun. I mean, I got to do about 50% of the game, so obviously I won't be out there if I didn't enjoy doing it. So it's fun, and I enjoy it.
Would you rather do spike the ball in the end zone and celebrate, or pancake something?
I mean, there's always time for both of them. And, I mean, if you're having a lot of touchdowns and stuff, I mean, it's always fun to go out and get a pancake then. But, if you're blocking the whole game, you like to get a pass once in a while. So, I mean, enjoy doing them both equally.
How much do you miss having Aaron out there with you?
Great player, great teammate, and definitely miss him a lot.
You've been impressed with some of the, quote-unquote, fill-in tight ends that have, you know, Matt White a couple times and Thomas Welch kind of lining up to the side.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to be in, change their number to an 80 number and be out on the route soon. I'm waiting for like Light or Welch or a flag right over his shoulder touchdown.
You know that shoulder caught three passes in college, right?
No, I didn't know that.
All freshman year.
Oh, so we should start noticing stuff like that with Soldier.
How is this week any different from a normal week? Is there anything different?
No, there's nothing different at all. We're always preparing every week at full go. We're always practicing at full go, no matter who the opponent is. And that's the same with this week, just like every other week.
Are you curious to see where they could lead this and how they decide to cover you guys as an offense? Because there's really a lot of options, especially with.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of options, and that's why you got to be prepared for every single option. You got to go out to practice and prepare for everything, so you never know what they're going to show, and you just got to be ready.
Did you get bracketed a lot, you know, being a single tight end when you went out last week against the Raiders?
Well, last week's over. I'm just worried about this week and the Jets now.
Yeah, but if you come out as a single tight end this week, expect to see that?
To expect to see anything. Man, zone, got to be prepared for all situations.
Rob, how do you characterize that Jet defense? How many different looks have you seen on film from them?
They got a great personnel. They got many personnels because they got a lot of great players that can do a lot of great things. So, you just got to be ready for all their stuff that they can do, because they can do much with all their players.
Seemed like last year in the playoff game they changed their look on almost every single down. Are you seeing the same thing from them this year, that they're rotating personnel and rotating looks on almost every single play?
Yes, definitely. I mean, they got many players, a lot of great players at every position that they can keep on rotating, so you got to be ready and prepared for everyone in.
All right, Rob Gronkowski, and I know Rex Ryan, but did he speak today as well? We have any of that too for later, maybe later on. But I tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and probably do my picks. And if we have some time at the end of the show, maybe Rex Ryan. But just get ready, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, because I got some doozies for you coming up. 20-12. Remember my last 2 weeks. It's an absolute. It doesn't get any better than that. I won't say dominating, but man, that's damn good. 20-12 in my last two. 4-0 in my miraculous. Have you capitalized on that, Kevin? No? No jelly beans?
No, I haven't put any jelly beans down.
No.
I should start, though.
Foolish of you, young man. Foolish of you.
I should start.
You should start. And as the whole world should start. 4-0. Not one, not two, not three, but 4-0. Sounded like LeBron James with his zero championships. Anyway, email me, webradiopatriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you should, if you want to. 508-298-0398. Back with my picks right after this on patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
You're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Anyway, somebody Facebooked me, and I'm a little offended by this, to be honest with you. Downloaded that, Kev, and used it as their ringtone.
You should get royalties.
No, I'm not offended. I think that's great. But, you know,
I think it could be a good alarm clock.
Absolutely.
That would be interesting.
Or maybe you could, how about playing it like as a wedding march? You know?
Wedding march.
Well, somebody, some Patriots fans.
You would want to get married. Maybe you'll get married to that.
Maybe.
You think the bride would agree to that?
No.
I don't know. I think she'd have a tough time trying to.
No.
It would be a really quick march down the aisle.
It would be.
It's very upbeat.
It absolutely would be. No, that would not go over well. I don't think. You know, it's funny though. On my Facebook page somewhere in the older post though is a, and I stole it from one of my friends who had it. It's a video of this couple that got married during the Bruins game, or during the, after the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. At this really cool wedding, and I'm not sure where it was. It's in Massachusetts, but it was just, they all had Bruins clothes on as the bride and groom and all the ushers and came in. It's really cool. It's on somewhere in the older post. Before I get to my picks and maybe some of Rex Ryan, Tiffany says, can't go without reading Tiffany. Pete, this game feels like that playoff game in which everyone counted the Jets out. I just don't like it when everyone picks against a talented team in the NFL. Tiffany, I won't say this often, but there's your first mistake, calling the Jets a talented team. No, they're not talented. They're okay. they always find a way to fight through and preserve and persevere. That's not necessarily true. They didn't fight through anything the last couple of weeks, Tiff. And in game one, it was that idiot Romo handed them the game. So they really, Tiff, should be 1-3. Don't forget that. And the Jacksonville game was just, that's god-awful. I told you that if we lost, I am done for the season. Come on, Tiff. This game scares me. The Bills game scared me. The Raiders game scared me, too. So did the Miami game. I'm a neurotic. I was fairly confident we would defeat the Chargers, though. I have a pretty good record. Now, most people would say just the opposite, Tiff, of what you said, and that they might fear more of any team, the Chargers, because of the talent. Now, that's a talented team. Okay? My darling, you don't have to worry about this, okay? This one, they're not going to let this one go. This one's not getting away from Tom Brady and company this week. Don't worry, my darling. It ain't going to happen. Trust me. I have an exemplary record as well, picking on it against this team and how I think games are going to shape up. I think I have a pretty good track record, much better than many local and national media people who just chart everything by net yardage. Gene in Daytona says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Rex will not put Revis on Wes. I saw on ESPN an analysis of why Revis is so good. They showed how Revis relies on the sideline. If you put Revis in the middle of the field, you make him less effective.
That's being a jackass.
Exactly. And I'm so good because now we won't have time for Rex because it's getting late. I didn't want to hear from him anyway. I'm tired of his crap. I think the Jets will double cover Wes. They will hit him at the line with a DB because he is too quick for a linebacker. He said himself it frustrated him when the team did that. Wes likes to be into the game, and when you take him out, it kills him. The only thing is the other guys will be open. All they have to do is catch the ball. We all hate the Jets, number one on the charts. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, NFL Network just ran a piece of why Revis will play against Welker. So it all depends on who you play. All these analysts have different philosophies. I think you'll see Revis on Welker a couple. I'm not saying the whole game, not by the longest stretch. But I wouldn't be surprised. Rex Ryan is going to change it up. He's got to change it up. You know, if he tries to go, you know, head to head, they're going to lose badly. And they're going to lose badly anyway, but it'll be, if he tries to go match, he can't match the Patriots in the shootout, he'll get killed. And the Patriots just have way too much of a balanced attack. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time. Put dinner on hold. Grab your sons and daughters and animals and in-laws. Illegal immigrants, who's ever living in your home these days? Doesn't matter. I'm not going to rat you out. Whatever works, right? Then it's time for Pete Shepard's picks for week 5 in a National Football League. Again, my last two picks will be the Patriots and then my miraculous pick of the week. Here we go. We got a doozy for you. This is the crapper of the week, no doubt about it. One of them. Might be another one, but this one's right up there. Kansas City, Indianapolis is home, and they're favored. Now, that should be a butt bump. Indy is home, -2.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Colts suck.
And here is where the Chiefs turn it around. Now, they turned it around last week, but they're going to make it 2 in a row. Kansas City +2.5. Get the call here. Indianapolis, come on. I mean, absolutely atrocious. They're going to be 0-5 when this is over. I like the Chiefs in this game. Indianapolis has just got nothing. Minnesota is home. They are desperate. They are a 2.5-point favorite. Could be Donovan McNabb's last game ever, in my opinion, if he really sucks. Arizona is a 2.5-point underdog. But I'm going to take the Vikings in this spot right here at home. This is the last chance for them to get this done. They need a win. I'm going to go with the Vikings somehow, finding a way not to blow any 17 or 20 point leads and somehow turn it around. They are -2.5. They get the call. Next game up is in Houston. The Texans are 6-point favorites against the Oakland Raiders. Well, sorry, Oakland. Like I said, I just don't think you're a very good team. I think you are what you are. You're 7-9, 8-8. And this is a bad spot for you again. On the road in Houston. Houston, -6. They get the call here. Aaron Foster goes nutso. And I love the Texans in this one, -6. Next up, interesting game. Very interesting. New Orleans at Carolina. Both teams putting up lots of points. Giving up lots of points. Translation, should be lots of points. But New Orleans has got way more talent on both sides of the ball when push comes to shove. And does this game have backdoor cover on it? Possibly, but not on Sunday. I like New Orleans by about 9 or 10 points in this one. They cover the 6.5. New Orleans -6.5. They get the call. This is crapper game number 2, which could be promoted and ascend to crap game number 1 out of Kansas City and Indianapolis. But this is crap game number 2, or 1A, which is Jacksonville home against the Bungles, who apparently have gone now 3 straight weeks without being stoned. So they have a chance. Jacksonville home is a 2.5-point favorite to Cincinnati. You got to like the Bungles here, fresh off their nice win over the Buffalo Bison on last Sunday at their place. But now they're on the road to Jacksonville, which is a bad team. This game could be 5-4 or 6-5. That's how bad it's going to be. Anybody has to watch this. I'm going to say a little prayer for you. Anyway, next up, another interesting game. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are desperate as hell for a win. They are home, a 3-point favorite against Tennessee. I don't know. This is a tough one to call, but I have got to go with the Titans in this one. I got to tell you, I know the Steelers have offensive line problems. They signed a guy or two new guys this week. Roethlisberger was banged up. I think Chris Johnson, does he get it going this week? I don't think so. I don't. I'm not sure if he may get a touchdown, but I'm not sure he's going to run through. I think this is going to be an ugly game, but Tennessee is playing much better football right now. They get the call here. Tennessee plus +3 in Pittsburgh, and I'm not sure Chris Johnson is going to go nuts. I think the defense of the Steelers will be prideful, and they'll play pretty well, but not well enough. I'm not sure Roethlisberger and the offense are going to be able to get it going. They've shown me squat so far. Giants are home. The Giants, the G-Man, 9.5-point favorites against Seattle. Seahawks stink. I don't care what they showed against the Bungles last week or against Atlanta. Coming back and scoring those points. But bad spot again. Cross country, 1 o'clock game. Big win for the Giants today on a Sunday. Seattle is in big, big trouble. This game will be a laugher, an absolute laugher. Giants clobber Seattle late in 9.5. San Fran is home against Tampa Bay. Another interesting game. The 49ers are 3-point favorites against Tampa Bay. I don't know why. It's crazy. Not crazy. It's just an interesting game. Tampa Bay playing well. San Fran had a big comeback last week against Michael Vick and the Eagles. San Fran, I'm picking the Niners in this spot here as a 3-point favorite at home. Big, going across the country for Tampa. San Fran, -3. They get the nod. Next up, the Denver Broncos are hosting the San Diego Chargers. Broncos are San Diego's a 4-point favorite in Denver. As well, they should be. Still, can't, this could be Kyle Orton's, they may finally succumb to the pressure here and have to play Tebow. I still don't think Tebow is going to be the answer, but it's getting apparently obvious that Kyle Orton is not either. He shows some flashes at times. He has, as I said, I've been a Kyle Orton guy since his days at Purdue, and I think he's shown flashes at times, but he just ain't getting it done. He just makes too many mistakes. So this could very well be Kyle Orton's last game as a starter, at least for a little while, in Denver. And you know what? I think the 4 is too much. I'm going to take the Broncos at this spot. I think San Diego wins by 3 or less, but I'm going to take the Broncos at home plus +4. Call me nuts. Sunday Night Football. Green Bay is at Atlanta. Packers, 6-point favorites at the Falcons. The Falcons are a very tough team to figure out. What's not tough to figure out is how well the Packers are playing. This game is going to have a ton of points. No doubt about it. Wouldn't be surprised in this game if Atlanta even went up by 7 or 10. But the Packers are too strong and too powerful and playing indoors where they play very well. Also, the Packers here win this game, I think, comfortably in the end. They beat Atlanta comfortably. Lay the 6, take Green Bay -6. Monday Night Football. Pretty exciting game coming up. Looking forward to this one. Detroit is home. 5.5-point favorites against the Bears. The Bears without Ditka.
That is known as the Bears.
Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears. And they have owned. Detroit has been their biatches for many years now. They've won 6 in a row against Detroit. They've won 10 out of 12 against the Lions. Interesting call here. Interesting game. I say, wipe the slate clean. Is a new team in Motown. And it's the new Detroit Lions. I think they get the job done. I think Cutler, again, craps his pants. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Craps his pants. He'll make some plays. But I think Detroit, they're going to be pumped up as long as they can, quote-unquote, stay within themselves, not let the emotion of Monday night get the best of them. I think Detroit wins this game, snaps that 6-game losing streak to the Bears. They not only win, they cover the 5.5. I'm taking the Lions, a team I picked to go to the playoffs this year and was laughed at by many. Who's laughing now after 4 weeks? Again, small sampling. As I've said many times, seen teams go 4-5, 6-0 and miss the playoffs. But right now, I'm taking the Lions. Now, coming up, the Patriots and the Jets. The Patriots are home. They are 9-point favorites. Some actually have it up to 9.5. I bet it goes to 10 by kickoff. I don't care. All week long, I reiterate one last time. Jets playing lousy. Forget Rex Ryan. Forget emotion. Forget it's the Patriots here. They don't have a good football team right now. They're playing their third straight game on the road. The Patriots are a well-oiled, tuned, offensive juggernaut that are now not only passing the ball extremely well, they are running the ball efficiently. I expect a similar game plan as it was to Oakland last week as far as a balanced attack. That's what I'm looking for. I don't expect 400 yards by Brady, but I do expect the Patriots win, and they will win. 34-19, you can mark it down, a comfortable 15-point win by your New England Patriots. Might be close for a little while, but the talent on the Patriots is superior to that on the Jets. Absolutely. At this point in the season, right now, and things might be different in 3 or 4 weeks when they meet again, but right now, bad matchup for the Jets. They are not playing well. They can't run the ball. Sanchez is mediocre to bad right now, and that spells disaster for the New York Jets. The Patriots, that loss last year, stuck in their craw. Brady's going to have a great day. They're going to be able to run the football. 34-19, your New England Patriots come out on top. Lay the 9, they cover. And now, last but not least, is my Meat Shepherd miraculous pick of the week. Now, these picks have gone 4-0. Now, if you had to pay a service for these picks, you'd have to pay like $2,000. Okay, I'm giving it to you for free. 4-0. 4-0.
It's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
My Monster Miraculous Lock of the Week. It's between the Eagles at the Buffalo Bills. A game that should have a ton of points. We don't do over-unders here, but if I did, I'd probably pick over 50 as my monster. But I'm just picking the side of the game. And I am telling you right now, the Buffalo Bisons are not as good as everybody thinks they are. They're going to lose their second straight game. The Eagles are going to get the job done. They are desperate, and I just think they're a better team. As piss poor as they've played at times this year, I just think they have more talent. I think they have the better coach. I think Andy Reid and Michael Vick and company find a way to get it done in this high-scoring shootout of a game. But I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles at -2.5 as my monster, miraculous, Meat Shepherd pick of the week. So there you have it. The two that people care about are the Patriots laying the 9, 34-19, and Philadelphia lay the 2.5, which should be an extremely high-scoring game in Buffalo this weekend to get the job done. Well, that's going to do it for this week on Patriots.com. I want to thank everybody, all my guests this week, and, of course, Kevin Collins producing this whole thing. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, all the emailers. We'll be back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. as we start to we'll break down the Patriots-Jets game. Hopefully a Patriots victory. I'm expecting one. And look ahead to the interception machine. That is Tony Romo coming in a week from Sunday. That's going to be fabulous. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great and safe rest of your week. Boston Bruins, congratulations. If you're going to the game tonight, have a blast. And congratulations to the Bees. Kev, we'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks again. And have a great and safe rest of your night, everybody. And keep listening to Patriots.com.
Say the movie, dog.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, Jack.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now, with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.